Our second case this morning is Brown against Cook County. Ms. Kurz, if you have any hope that we can see that, that's completely forlorn. Take it down.
Is it better?
It's like being in the
no, just take it down. We can read things in your brief. It would be nothing but a distraction. Ms. Kurz.
May it please the court, counsel. Dana L. Kurtz on behalf of plaintiff appellant Thomas Brown. We are requesting this court reverse the district court's grant of summary judgment for three reasons. First, the district court improperly weighed the evidence in defendant's favor. Second, the district court failed to follow Supreme Court precedent Mount Healthy in applying a motivating factor to the First Amendment claim. And third, the district court erred and not allowing the plaintiff to amend his complaint to add an equal protection claim based upon the admissions.
I found the briefs confusing. What is your best evidence of discrimination on, you know, political grounds that is not hearsay evidence?
The best evidence is Chief O'Day's testimony that Tom Brown was more qualified.
Because there's this ambiguity in clout. So if clout just represents, you know, nepotism and so on, it doesn't have, that's not a First Amendment problem. It's only if it's political. If Brown was passed over for political reasons, he's got a good claim. But if he just doesn't have the right family connection, I mean, we've been hearing a lot about corruption in Illinois government. He doesn't have the right connections and so on. Clout in the sense of a pal, influential pal, then it's not a First Amendment case.
Your Honor, there is a plethora of evidence that when weighed in.
I want your strongest evidence.
Your Honor, in addition to Marjorie O'Day's admissions.
I want the strongest evidence, not the in addition. Give me the strongest evidence first, then you can add on.
The strongest evidence, we would say, is Sheehan's own answers to the request to admit, admitting that he knew in paragraphs 14, 15, and 16, answering.
But there is an ambiguity in that, because do we know whether he's talking about at the time of deposition, when presumably the lawyers have briefed him on, you know, what the case is about and what the other testimony is and so on, or do you take that to mean that he's admitting that he knew that at the time that Brown was passed over?
We take that to mean that he knew that at the time Brown was passed over.
But how do we know that?
There is no limitation in the request to admit to the time frame. In addition, in weighing the evidence in the plaintiff's...
Yeah, but that I have problems with that, too, because in the drafting, it should have been specific because there was a specific time frame you wanted to know about. And this is so general and broad, we have no way to peg it to anything.
The request specifically says, admit that Tom Brown did not make any political contributions to your campaign. Admit that Tom Brown did not attend any of your political fundraisers, etc. And he answered in response to admit that Tom Brown did not attend any of your political campaign fundraisers, admitted to the best of my knowledge. At no point in time did Defendant Sheehan request to amend his answers to the request to admit. And in fact, pursuant to this court's holding in Lafari versus Rogers Group, Seventh Circuit 2010, where the court says you cannot consider an affidavit that contradicts deposition testimony. Similarly here, the court should not have weighed these answers in the favor of the defense. They are free to make those arguments at trial as to, I didn't know at the time I answered these, and the evidence should be weighed in the plaintiff's favor. In addition to that evidence, Your Honor asked about the strongest evidence, there are the statements from commanders and deputy chiefs about Tom Brown's political affiliation is also evidence of the defendant's knowledge in this case. That is not hearsay. It is an admission by a party opponent. In addition, the 30B6 designee admitted that Commander Palkiew had decision-making authority with respect to promotions. He also admitted that the deputy chiefs, assistant chiefs, also played a part in the decision-making process. This court can consider the Supreme Court's case in Staub versus Proctor Hospital, 131 Supreme Court, 1186, 2011, in which the Supreme Court reversed the Seventh Circuit and talked about the management and supervisors, that they were acting within the scope of their authority with respect to statements that they made.
Can we just go back to O'Day for a minute? Did she specifically state in her deposition that she gave the list with Brown's name as a recommendation to O'Grady or Sheehan?
Yes. That is in the record at 2411, where O'Day testified that she believed she hand-delivered the memo to Paul O'Grady. In addition to that recommendation, she testified that O'Grady told her to recommend five in order of preference. We focus primarily on Morozik because Morozik is the most egregious example where O'Day did not recommend her because she was not as qualified as Tom Brown. And in that order of preference, she did not list Morozik at all. In fact, Tom Brown was the one who was skipped over. He's a Republican.
Well, you yourself want to argue that she was given favored treatment because she's a woman, which of course is not the political, not your original political theory.
Right, and that is an unlawful reason.
But that's not your case.
Correct. The primary.
So the fact that there's another unlawful reason is irrelevant. If you sue charging political discrimination, and it turns out there's some other form of discrimination, you're out of luck.
It is relevant, one, to pretext, and two, if the defendant gets up and says.
No, it isn't. The pretext means giving a reason that, if believed, would undermine the plaintiff's case. If you say, no, I didn't appoint Morozik because she gives money to the Democrats, I appointed her because she's a woman. I don't like men. Something like that, right? That wouldn't be nice, but it would also be a good defense.
Your Honor, in fact, it's not a good defense under Alexander versus
Why
City.
Why is it a good defense? I don't get it.
Because
suppose it's the truth that Morozik was not appointed for political reasons, but it was discrimination in favor of a woman.
And that is an unlawful reason.
But it's not a political reason. It counters the political reason, right?
It does counter the political reason, but even on pretext, this court has held that an unlawful reason is not.
I understand. Of course an unlawful reason can be a perfectly good reason for something that cancels a political case or any sort of case. I mean, what if you say, I didn't appoint this person because I was jealous or something like that, or because he tried to seduce my wife or something of that sort, right? Those are perfectly good reasons when what you're defending against is a political case.
Those could be perfectly good reasons. They're not reasons given in this case. And, in fact, the
you
evidence.
You gave the reason. You said it's discrimination against women. It's not political. But that's not a reason in a case which isn't about discrimination against women.
We noted that reason based upon Sheehan's admissions in his deposition as one reason. And if the court looks at all the.
You're arguing against yourself by offering a reason which was not a political reason for her appointment.
Judge Posner is asking you a question that is, you may not know what its provenance is, but this is related to our en banc decision in Visser against Packer Engineering. where the same line of argument was made, that I say they've acted on the basis of a prohibited reason. They're giving a reason that is otherwise illegitimate, and therefore my case goes forward. And that argument was decided the other way in Visser. Do you have any response based on the actual holding of Visser?
Yes, Your Honor, in that the evidence here, regardless of Sheehan's own admissions, and our concern was if he were to come at trial and say, no, it was based upon gender, which is illegal under Ritchie, the Supreme Court case, that the evidence here, when weighed in the favor of Tom Brown, as the district court should have done, a jury could find that politics, either the fact that he was a Republican or the fact that he wasn't contributing to a Democrat or he didn't have clout, a jury could find that that was a reason or the reason.
But not all of the five people. Was it five that were put ahead of him?
There were four that are at issue. The George Brown was promoted before.
Four that are at issue. How many were promoted ahead of him?
All four of them. Two of them contributed.
There were five.
I'm sorry?
I thought there were five. There's four?
There's four. There's five on the list. They did not get to Blair, who was last on the list after Tom Brown, on O'Day's list. So the four, the three above, and then Morozik. Two of them contributed at the time the list came out, and the other two, Patrick McGee, he provided a declaration in support of summary judgment that he had been passed over, he believed, before because he didn't contribute, and then he made a phone call to a commander in order to get promoted, as well as Bresniak.
That, of course, undermines the case also. That suggests that if you don't have political clout, you have to, you know, get some other sort of support. And if your commander likes you, you know, that's a good reason, and you get the appointment.
It was a phone call to call your clout. And if the court looks at the testimony, Commander Al Romito had told plaintiff when the list came out, call your clout. And he said, I don't have any.
Yes, but the clout doesn't have to be political, right? It can just be some influential person, or it can be your boss who thinks highly of you, right? Clout is not defined as just political influence.
Clout in this case was defined as political influence.
No, you just gave the example of where it's not, where he calls up his commander. That's clout. It's not political. His commander liked him.
And in the issue of with Bresniak, in fact, he knew a Chicago alderman. So the other issue, Your Honor, is that Tom Brown did not have political connections. He didn't contribute to the Democratic campaign or Sheehan's campaign.
And didn't we have four other individuals who did contribute to Sheehan who still didn't get promotions?
Your Honor, there were other individuals on the eligibility list
that
were
contribute.
Not... Right, that did contribute and were not promoted.
Yeah, how do you reconcile that with your...
Your Honor, that is reconciled with this court's recent decision in Diaz versus Kraft Food Global, which is a 2011 Westlaw 343-7028. I believe it just came out last month, where this court talked about there is no inverted version of similarly situated. Just because there are some people on the list that did contribute and were not promoted is not relevant. The court held...
Well, no, it's certainly relevant. It's not conclusive.
And this court held there is no similarly situated employee analysis available to the employer.
Of what you're saying. I mean, suppose one person contributes and is promoted, 99 contribute and are not promoted. You're saying that ratio of 99-1 is irrelevant?
If there is one that was not promoted who did not contribute and didn't have political affiliation, and who the chief of police recommended
That's
as being more...
That's not what I'm talking about. Are you saying it is irrelevant to show that most people who contribute don't get anything? Is it irrelevant? Not conclusive, but is it totally irrelevant?
I would agree with Your Honor. It may not be totally irrelevant, but the issue is who was promoted... and that Tom Brown was not, and he did not contribute.
And certainly the district court could take that into account, the four individuals who did contribute and didn't get promoted.
Correct. And she did not do that in this case. And again, it's a question for the jury in terms of whether or not there is enough evidence to go to trial. And in this case, there was plenty of...
No, that's not the issue for the jury. That's the issue for the judge.
Yes, I apologize. The issue for the court is weighing the inferences in favor of the plaintiff, and where the district court erred in this case is not weighing the inferences in favor of Tom Brown. And one big example is the answers to the request to admit. The court also erred in applying the but-for factor. Even if this court finds that but-for is the standard, Mr. Brown should still be allowed to present his claims to the jury. In this court, the district...
I'm still struggling with, well, I'll give you that, the but-for, the motivating factor. I don't think you have sufficient evidence to support that.
In fact, the motivating factor, Your Honor, is... It only has to be one reason, a reason. As the Supreme Court held in Mount Healthy, it is a substantial, that it played a part, which came from the substantial or otherwise a motivating factor. Gross did not overturn Mount Healthy.
How many lieutenants are there in the Cook County Police Department? Sheriff's Police Department.
That is not in the record. I believe there was 25 or 30 on the list. And I see my time has expired.
Thank you, Ms. Kurtz. Mr. Odelson.
Your Honors, good morning. If it pleases the Court, with me this morning is Michael McGrath and Richard Bruin, co-counsel for Sheriff Sheehan and Mr. Dart, and Jim Poulos, the Assistant State's Attorney, on behalf of Cook County. Your Honor, what we have here is Sheriff Sheehan in charge of 7,000 employees making a decision to promote 5 qualified sergeants to lieutenant out of a list of 16.
How many of the 7,000 are lieutenants?
There's approximately 30, 35. That's not in the record, but my recollection is there's approximately 30 or 35 lieutenants.
You might be aware of promotions to lieutenant.
Pardon me? I'm sorry, Your Honor?
He might be aware of promotions or interested in promotions to lieutenant, even if he obviously doesn't take an interest in all 7,000.
Yes, Your Honor, because he is the ultimate decision maker. He's the one that appoints upon recommendation of his chief of staff, at this time Paul O'Grady. His supervisory staff was extremely important to him because that's who he relies upon in order to make sure that the policies of the office are carried out. He chose the 5 lieutenants from a list of 16 of all qualified individuals. That's one of the keys to this case. The 16 people submitted to Sheriff Sheehan through Paul O'Grady, his director of
operations. I take that seriously with respect to Ms. Mrozek.
Ms. Mrozek was one of the 16 and qualified.
I say it's hard to take seriously the proposition that she's qualified.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
All her grotesque behavior.
The behavior talked about came after her appointment.
Yeah, but it was surely part of a lot of... It surely was part of a pattern that started before, right?
No, the record...
Really?
The,
she just suddenly went off the deep end, became crazy, corrupt, so on?
No, there was no corruption allegations. There were many allegations some months after...
There were corrupt allegations that she stole stuff from the police department?
And those allegations were not substantiated. They were made against her, and they were not substantiated by Sheriff Dart, who had assumed office by this time. She was only found guilty on one charge, and that was substantially after she was promoted to lieutenant. It really has nothing to do with the case itself, since the case rests upon whether Sheriff Sheehan politically discriminated against Mr. Brown, because he knew he was a Republican, because he knew he supported Leroy Martin for sheriff, or because he didn't work for Sheehan or contribute to his political campaigns. If you can't tie or connect the dots from Brown to Sheehan and impute knowledge to Sheehan, there is no political retaliation. First, you have to know who the person is and know that he did something that you don't like. related to a political retaliation animus. That was not the case in
why
this case.
Why all these admissions? That's very puzzling.
The omissions?
Admissions by Sheehan.
The omissions that Attorney Kurtz talks about came in 2010. They were two or three of 300 requests to admit and are very consistent with what he said a year before in his deposition, that he didn't know Tom Brown, that he didn't keep track of political contributions. There was other people that did that. And that since the filing of the lawsuit, since the deposition, since consultation with attorneys, since reading the pleadings.
But he didn't say that, did he?
No.
Why didn't he explain that?
Well, because it's in the request to admit. You admit or deny, or you...
You certainly can explain your answer.
And he did, Your Honor.
Well, he didn't say, you know, I know now, but I didn't know then, right?
No, because
it's
the...
very strange.
Because... I'm sorry. The request to admit are not time sensitive. They're not placed in a specific time.
I don't understand why a witness who's a lawyer and is advised by lawyers wouldn't want to make crystal clear that he was not admitting that he had always known this. I have never seen this in a deposition in answers to requests for admissions before.
He admitted that Tom Brown did not attend his political campaign fundraisers to the best of his knowledge. He had many, that's a true answer. He had many political fundraisers.
Why did he say he doesn't know? Or he has no recollection of it?
Because at the time he answered the request to admit.
Why didn't he say, I have no recollection of it, but I've been told that he did or didn't.
He said that in his dep a year before.
Yeah,
and he
why
said,
didn't he repeat it in his admissions rather than giving an argument point to his opponent?
Well, because
he was poorly advised.
Yes, Your Honor. Your Honor, what we have in this case are hearsay statements, a number of non-disclosed 26A witnesses whose declarations suddenly appeared in the response to the motion for summary judgment, untrue and unsupported allegations. And if you take all of those together, 0 plus 0 is still zero. There's no substantive evidence tying the alleged political retaliation to Sheriff Sheehan or to Mr. O'Grady. The person alleged to have been harmed, Mr. Brown, spent $100 on Leroy Martin's campaign in 1998, 7 years prior to the promotions. He put up a couple of political signs. His wife didn't even know he was involved in any type of political campaign or gave any type of money whatsoever. There is just no connect between Sheriff Sheehan and Paul O'Grady and Mr. Brown. The Gross case...
That would be the best type of person... to pass over if you wanted to make a statement, right? Suppose you wanted to convince your 7,000 employees that you, Sheehan, were omniscient. And if they gave a penny to the Republicans, you would know about it and they'd never become a lieutenant. That'd be great, right? That'd be a good strategy. Pick the most obscure Republican, pass him over, and then... No one would dare give, as I said, wouldn't give a penny to the Republicans.
Well, dare say there, I'm sure there are many, many Republicans within the Sheriff's Department, and as Sheriff Sheehan testified in his dep, he did not know the people brought to him. He only went upon the recommendation of his underlings.
Well, how many of these 30 or 35 lieutenants are Republicans?
I have no knowledge of that. And he testified he didn't use politics as a criteria. He used the recommendations brought to him by his director of operations. And there was 5 people appointed. George Brown hasn't been spoken about, but he was one of the 5 of the 16. He was promoted early on in 04. And then the other 4 were promoted at the end of 05, with Sergeant Morozik's appointment being basically at the last minute because another opening developed. There was a hiring freeze in Cook County. There was a long time. The list sat for a year and a half. until the hiring freeze opened, and Mr. O'Grady asked for recommendations. He gave the recommendations to Sheriff Sheehan, and Sheriff Sheehan appointed. The Mount Healthy case that counsel talked about in 1977 certainly was the law. The motivating factor was the law. This court has seen fit to follow Gross and has changed the criteria in these political retaliation cases.
Decisions of the Supreme Court?
Pardon me, Your Honor?
You think we can change decisions of the Supreme Court?
No, you followed the decision of the Supreme Court, and you did in Gross. And you you have done that repeatedly in Delapaz.
What did Gross say about Mount Healthy?
Gross said that you, in order to...
I know what Gross said in general. I asked, what did Gross say about Mount Healthy?
I don't specifically recall exactly what it said about Mount Healthy.
It's very easy to recall exactly what it said about Mount Healthy. Nothing.
That's probably why I don't recall.
What I do know
and what I do recall is the fact that this court has followed the Gross case in the decisions.
Well, there's been a division. Some cases have, some.
But of late...
So we have to deal with that.
Yes. But the way you... I would respectfully request that the way it's dealt with in this case is either way. Because either under the Mount Healthy standard or the Gross standard, whether it's a motivating factor or it's a but-for...
It doesn't seem to help in this case one way.
There's no tie up to Sheriff Sheehan that he used political considerations not to appoint someone. He based his recommendations on what he was given by Mr. O'Grady. Neither one of them knew Tom Brown. They appointed five people from a list where everybody was qualified. Sergeant Rozek actually received recommendations not only from Mr. O'Grady, but from other people within the Sheriff's Department. And Sheriff Sheehan did say that he used diversity. He liked diversity. He wanted his command staff to look like his rank and file men. So after he had appointed four men, there were two women left on the list. Maybe that is a factor that he used. That's what he said. It was one of the factors. But it's not a political factor. It's a factor that he used to try to supplement his command staff to make it look with people that he wanted to carry out his functions and his duties as the sheriff of Cook County. There is just no evidence in this case, Your Honor. I believe that the district court's decision was well-founded on the merits and should be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Odelson. The case is taken under advisement.